have some of you boys and girls help me out with something, okay? This lesson is especially for you, and I think it's a good thing for us to keep our focus not just on the adults, but our kids and our grandkids, because, you know, you're going to be the next generation. We want you to carry these wonderful things from the Bible on someday to your own families that God may give you. So let's just pray again, shall we? Father, we pray you bless this lesson. Help us to be good hearers and to take them to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a month ago, I gave I used to be a teacher. I gave an assignment. And I suggested that you try either yourself or get an adult to help you read Joshua chapters 1 through 10. And some of you have already done that. Last week I gave some rewards. If you didn't finish and you didn't get your reward, or if you're a little bit older than our class back there and you did the reading and you'd like to have a treat or a little reward, you can come with me at the end of the lesson back to the break room, okay? And I'll have some things there for you. And the other part of that was if you memorize Joshua verses or chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, or just 8 if you're younger, you can get a treat for that too. Okay? What deal? So anyway, I always like to say this. When it comes to rewards that I or maybe one of the other teachers gives you, what's better, the little reward we give you or getting God's treasure, the Bible, in your heart? Abby? Yeah, it doesn't even compare, does it? That is a treasure that God can use in your life many, many times over. So, okay, good. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Joshua today, chapter 5 and 6. And I wanted to put these verses up here on Proverbs because the message that we have from Joshua 5 and 6 is, I put a title on it, and it's The Fear of God. The fear of God. And that doesn't sound like a very happy topic, does it? The fear of God. But I want you to just look up here at these verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way. A lot of times people like to talk about the love of God, which is very important. But we really need the fear of God, too. We need to fear God when it comes to doing evil things, because there are consequences. Here's another one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, a lot of times before people can get saved, they have to remember, they have to come to this, that my sin in my life has put me in a very dangerous place. And if we become aware of that sin, because God's Spirit works in us to help us to know that, is that that is the beginning of wisdom that can lead to salvation. Here's another one. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. You actually live longer if you fear the Lord. But the years of the wicked will be shortened, a shorter life. And the fear of the Lord, this is Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. We're going to read about a story of a man named Achan today that he didn't fear the Lord. And as a result, he got caught in the snare of death. And then here's another one. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Isn't that something? So sometimes the rewards of this world can be a snare. But if we fear the Lord, we can avoid ill-gotten gain or getting things the wrong way through cheating or disobedience or wicked things. All right. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. But by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. If you forget everything else, just remember that last part here. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. that just say? Sorry? All right. What did it just say? That's all right. It's to depart from evil. Okay? All right. And then the last one is the fear of the Lord leads to what? Oh, that's right. That's the other one. Excellent. What's the last one up there? The fear of the Lord leads to threat? Life. Life. All right. So I would say that the fear of the Lord is better than we thought. Wouldn't you say? All right. Let's look at the next slide. Now, this one you saw a month ago, right? We saw that. And these are where we're going to go a little bit here. We talked a little bit about how Joshua was a man of God. God had brought the people of Israel under Joshua's command across the Jordan River, and they came into the land that God had promised them, a wonderful land, the land of milk and honey that God had promised. And then they discovered, oh, there's giants in the land. There's scary people in this land. And remember the 10 spies brought back a bad report way back when? And people believe the doubts and fears of those men. And as a result, a whole generation was not allowed to enter the promised land because they didn't believe God could overcome those things. But now, this new generation had come across the Jordan River, and God made a pathway through the waters for them, and they were in the land of promise. And the first place they came to was what? What was that great city with the walls? What was it? Abby, what was it? Jericho. And Jericho was quite a fortified city. And I'm sure Joshua was thinking about all of these things. There's Joshua. And he was wondering, how are we going to take that city? Yes. Yeah. Yep, very good, Chip. That's wonderful. You know, I'm glad you guys read on your own. I remember one time when I would teach Good News Club at school, right here actually, I would give the kids a paper of the chapter that we were going through after the lesson. I would say, read it and make sure I said everything accurately. Because, you know, sometimes Bible teachers can forget something or misspeak. And you check it out, make sure it's okay. Well, the following week, this one young boy came back to me and he said, Mr. Hansen, I checked out everything you said. I read it. I thought, oh boy, what did I say wrong? And he said, you got it exactly right. So I was kind of relieved. But yeah, you guys know now. You know the passages, right? Because you read it. So if I misspeak, you tell me. All right, so Joshua was worried, I think, and the man that met him, he wasn't sure who he was. He said, are you with us? Are you for us or for our enemies? And he, the man, said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord. And who do we think that was? Lucas, who do we think that was? That man. Who do you think? Yes, God the Son. I believe so too. Although it doesn't tell us exactly, but I mean, who else commands the forces of God, and who comes in the form of a man? All right, and so then he told Joshua to take off his shoes, for the ground that he stood on was holy. Do you remember all this? Remember this? Okay, Xavier, you don't remember this, you weren't here, right? Okay, so he did that. And we talked about how God had done the same thing in the burning bush with Moses, right? He took off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. By the way, what does holy mean? Can you read it up there? Holy means what? Jocelyn? Sacred. Set apart. Special. Okay, moving on. And so God teaches us to be holy. And God says, be holy for I am holy. And so we learn that God, when he calls us to believe in him and to trust in him, that he wants us to live a holy life. This is where the fear of God is very important. Yes, Lucas. I don't know. I guess I'm not sure what you're referring to. I'll tell you what, Lucas, why don't you and I talk about this after the meeting? Okay, you can help me a little bit because I'm not connecting for some reason. Sorry. All right, so anyway, now you just tell me a little bit. I want you to answer this question. All right, but first before I just say this, our body is a holy place if we belong to the Lord Jesus. Did you know that? Did you not know that your body is the temple of the living God? If you're saved, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and our body becomes the living place of God. That's really awesome, isn't it? So if God comes to dwell within us, should we be living in sin? That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? That would grieve the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit does not depart, does not leave us. He will never leave us or forsake us. But if we grieve him, that's very hard. And so we want to give our body as a living sacrifice for the Lord. Okay? Our body is holy. And then a place where we meet with God to pray and worship him is holy. And so God teaches us these things as believers. So how should we be acting when we are on holy ground before God? Anybody have an idea? How should we be acting? Xavier, what do you think?
Should probably not sin.
Yes, right. That's a good answer. Abby, what else? Okay, good. Especially to our parents. Obey them. Remember that they are put in authority over us by God. What about doing bad things with our friends? Is that living in a holy way? What if our friends want to show us something that's very wicked? Is that okay? No. And so we have to learn to live our life to please the Lord. And remember, he's watching, right? He sees all. All right, let's move on. So then we talked about the city of Jericho. Now, sometimes in our Christian life, we think, oh, I think I've got this all figured out. I'll just live my life this way, and I think God will be happy, and everything will work out fine. But we don't bother to read the Bible. Is that going to work? No, I don't think so, because we'll get too many of our own thoughts, and we'll miss the mark. You see, when they went around Jericho, they weren't going to take Jericho the normal way. You see, they might have thought, well, let's take our swords and our spears and put some ladders. We'll climb up there and we'll fight. Was that the way? No, God had a very unusual plan. But you see, Joshua and the people had to do it God's way. It didn't make any sense. Just walk around the city. One day, day two, walk around the city. Remember we did that here? And they kept doing this day after day. And on the seventh day, they walked around seven times. And then they yelled and blew a trumpet. Would that be the way to take the city? But what happened? The walls came tumbling down because they did it God's way. You see, they had to know God's word. And that's what we need to do. We're not going to do well if we're not reading God's word, because that's how we learn to do things God's way. Okay? What if one person was saved, or what one person and her family were saved in Jericho? Abby knows it. Are you the only one? Saraya knows it. Really, is that all who knows, or are you just being modest here? You know? Okay. All right, who is it, Abby? Rahab. Now, Rahab did not have a good reputation. She was a very bad person living in sin, in a cursed city, in a land that was going to be judged by God. And yet, she came to the men of God, and she helped them, and she testified that the Lord, He is God. And she turned from her wicked ways to the God of Israel. And God saved her. And the people of God brought her out of Jericho. And she did not die in the judgment of Jericho. Now, there were warnings that God gave to them before Jericho was taken. Do you remember what they were? We talked about one of them. Do you remember the one? Yes, there were all kinds of treasures in Jericho, but they were not to take them for themselves, were they? There was a ban that then means they were not allowed to take them home with them, even though they might be pretty valuable. And there was another warning. Remember? Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn and with his youngest son. He shall set up its gates. And that warning was given. Do you know? There was a man, a foolish man, who didn't read his Bible. His name was Hiram. He didn't read the warning. He didn't know the word of God. He just thought, I think it would be a good idea to build up Jericho again after God destroyed it. A long time later. And what happened? Exactly what the prophet foretold. When he raised up the gate, he lost his firstborn son. And when he raised up the foundations, he lost his firstborn son. And when he set up the gate, he lost his youngest son. Just as the word of God had told. Do you remember what Denham said last time? He's not here today. I got such a kick out of it. He said, is Jericho still around today? I said, yeah, it is. He said, I never want to go there. Remember that? So, yeah, Jericho is still around. But it's something to listen to the word of God and be warned. There was another warning, and Nolan just told us what it was. Do not take anything from the accursed things, lest you become cursed. And when you take of the cursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So God made it very clear. If you take anything from that city for yourself, you will be cursed. And you can actually extend that curse to all the people of God and trouble it. Well, I think most people listen to that, right? The word of God was very, very clear. But there was one man who decided, I'm not worried about it. And there he is. His name was Achan. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. What's a trespass? Anybody? Saran, what is that? Yes, doing something you're not allowed to that God specifically says. The answer is no, you cannot do this, and to do it anyway would be a trespass against his law, right? Against his command. But Achan committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. He took of the accursed things, and so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Did Achan's sin hurt himself? We're going to find out it did. Did it hurt other people? Yes, it did. We're going to find out about that too. Did he think that he could get away with it, do you think? For a while. And sometimes, you know, when we do bad things and we sin, we might fool ourselves and think, well, nobody sees. And maybe no adults do see. But who always knows and sees?
God
sees. That's right. And Achan forgot that. And he thought he had it all covered up. So he was not able to hide his sin, although I think he tricked himself. And, you know, there's a reminder in Numbers which says, be sure your sin will find you out. Let's say that together. Be sure your sin will find you out. Don't forget that, kids. You might be able to get away with it for a while, but God knows, and there will be a day of judgment. You know, sometimes I think God even helps kids now to get found out sometimes. If you've had that happen in your life where you did something wrong, and all of a sudden, somehow, your mom or dad figured it out. Have you ever had that happen? You know, you can be thankful for that. I know it's painful, it's embarrassing, it's shameful, but you can be thankful. Because sometimes I think God helps our parents to figure things out to help us grow up right. And so that we can make things right. You know, we're not perfect. We all sin. But God provides a way back when we sin to be cleansed and washed and forgiven. Here's another verse that I love. 1 Corinthians 4:5. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. That day is coming when everything will be made clear and will be revealed, and God will show us that he knows these things. I hope that we get our sins cleared up before he comes, don't you? And receive the salvation that God offers to us. Well, because of Achan's sin, trouble came to God's people. And in Joshua 7, the enemies of Ai struck down about 36 men of Israel, for they chased them and struck them down. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Oh, man, what happened? Jericho was a very strong and mighty city compared to Ai. Ai was just a little town. In fact, when Joshua sent the soldiers to Ai, he just sent a small group. He didn't send very many. He thought, this is going to be easy. It is a little town. And we took mighty Jericho. This will be no problem. But that was before Achan sinned against God, right? Before God was with Israel, was God helping them now with his sin going on? No. No, God was not with them in this battle. And when Ai came out, this little town, why, they defeated the army of God and struck them, and 36 people died. 36 people died because of Achan's sin. You see how serious sin can be? One little sin can result in great harm to others. Remember that, boys and girls. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I had sinned, and I felt just, I don't know, at the time I was in a dark place, and my sister, she scolded me about it, and that really hit me. It got to my heart, my sister, and I thought, I am being a bad influence on my sister and my family, and that was one of the things that really brought me back to the Lord, and I confessed my sin to my father, and my father forgave me. I think God really helped me. But, you know, when we begin to hurt other people with our sin, that can really teach us a lesson about how harmful it is. All right, well, when Ai defeated God's people, Joshua, they would do this in the Old Testament. They sometimes, to show their grief, they would tear their clothes. We don't do that today. But if they did that back in those days, that meant that they were very distressed, very upset. Things were wrong. Things were not going well. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. And the ark of the Lord was where Joshua would meet with the Lord and pray. And he was before the ark until evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear it
and surround us and cut off our name from the earth? And what will we, what will you do for your great name? You see, the trouble that was coming to Israel, they already had lost 36 men. And now Joshua, the leader, is having all kinds of doubts about God. Was God the one at fault? Who was at fault here? Was it God? Sarah, who was at fault? Achan. And yet Joshua is confused. And you know what? Sin can do that. Sin can cause a lot of chaos and confusion. And sometimes people, oh, they have a terrible time trying to figure it all out. What's wrong here? Well, Achan was hiding his sin, and God was taking steps to reveal this, to bring it out into the open. So then, now let's see here. If I can get this to go, I wonder if my battery is dead. Is there a way to advance this part without this? Or did I just somehow turn off the book? It says it's on. We got the tech expert here. There you go. Boom. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Carter. Might want to stay close at hand in case it doesn't work.
Does it work now?
Let's try it. Yeah, we're good. Thank you, Carter. All right. So Joshua is all confused. He doesn't know what's wrong. He's even doubting God. And God said to him, Joshua, get up. Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have transgressed. They've also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. So God knew. God knew exactly, just like you said, Savior. God knew. He knew what was going on, and now he revealed it to Joshua. So, because of Achan's sin, God said the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. And then God said, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the cursed one from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is a cursed thing in the middle of your camp. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the cursed thing from among you. Does everybody understand that? You understand what we're saying? What had to go? What had to go, Abby? Cursed thing. How would things go with God if the cursed thing was not removed? What would happen? Very wrong. That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, I think we're understanding. Okay, so in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the to their families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by their households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken from the accursed thing shall be burned with fire and all that he has because he transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. I don't know if you understood that all, but I think we'll just try something now. Remember I was counting before? Some of you? Okay, I need some help, you guys. Would you be willing to help me? Xavier, would you help? Okay, here, just take this number, and here, I'll give you this number, and Logan, give this number here, and Ashley, do you mind helping me? Okay. Here it is, Lord. Oh, Lucas, you got it because she was there. Oh. And I don't know, fortunately, it didn't guys with the number, come on up here, just stand right up in front, okay? Present yourself before the Lord. All right, come on up. Stand right up here. All right? Now, what I just had you guys do, coming up here like this, is exactly what Joshua did. He brought up the 12 tribal leaders, I believe, of Israel, and he said, stand before the Lord, and the Lord told Joshua which one was the, which tribe was the guilty tribe. You get that? All right, so let's do this. Numbers 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. You can sit down. You're innocent. You're innocent. You didn't do this thing. You can sit down, okay? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say 3. Come on back up. Let's see here. Let's see your numbers.
I didn't say 9.
I thought it was a 9. It's a 6.
Which number?
All right. If you're number 3, sit down. If you're number 5, you can sit down. Oh, I'm glad. Number 7, you can sit down. Where's the guilty one? They're not. Guilty one's not here. Who was the guilty one? Yeah. It was Achan. Achan's not here, right? Achan was the one. So Achan's tribe was still there. And then they came up by families. You know, like the whole Mallison clan or the whole Hansen clan, you know, or whatever. And then Achan's family was chosen. And then they came up man by man, and then Achan was chosen. Can you imagine how he felt as this thing started to close in on him? I'm going to be found out. And you know, that's the way it is with sin, boys and girls. Your sin will what? Be sure your sin will what? Say it loud. Find you out. Your sin will find out. Achan's sin was finding him out. And he was guilty. How do you think he was? How do you think he felt? What do you think? Yes, probably terrified. What is, remember what he said? The person who is guilty will be burned with fire. Is that a scary thing? I think he was probably trembling as he thought about this. So Joshua rose early in the morning, and he did that family by family, and the family of the Zerahites were taken, and then man by man, and Achan was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to God, the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. He'd been hiding this thing for a long, long time. Even after all those men died in the battle, he hid it. And even when Joshua was calling up the tribes and the families, he hid it until it came right down to him, and he was chosen. And now there was no place to hide. And so he confessed. He said, and Achan answered, Joshua said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, or coat, this would be like a coat, 200 shekels of silver worth $20,000, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, that's worth $150,000. I coveted them and took them. What does it mean to covet? Does anybody know? Abby, what does it mean? You're wanting something that belongs to that belong. Yes, it doesn't belong to you or belongs to somebody else. Something that you're not supposed to have, right? And he coveted them and took them, and he said, there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So I want you to know this before we go to the next slide, is that I believe that Achan's family was in on it. I think his wife and his kids were in on it. I think they knew what was going on. You know, there was probably a lump in the tent, right in the ground, where they put all this treasure and booty. And I think that they were quiet and didn't tell the secret. And sometimes this happens. There's family secrets that are going on. And I believe Achan's family was in on it because of what happened next. So Joshua sent messengers, and they went to the branch of the tent, and there it was, hidden in the tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and they laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And so all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Very serious, isn't it? Sin has serious, serious consequences. Yes, Abby? Yeah, good question. Everything that is touched by sin, sometimes God is very thorough in his judgment. I wouldn't want to question God on this. I think that God's ways are righteous. Yes, because. Maybe so. I don't know how smart animals are, but I'm sure that the kids do, don't you think? Well, I don't think that the people of God were going to get anything from Achan. Maybe that's why they had to die, is that everything that belonged to Achan was cursed. And this is what it means to be cursed. Achan brought a curse upon his family. As parents, we need to be very careful what we bring into our home. And Achan brought something that was very seriously wrong into his home. Well, these are verses to help us think about these things. We've already said this first one. Let's read it again. Numbers 32:23. Ready? Be sure your sin will find you out. I want you to remember that. I learned that verse when I was a boy, and believe me, it helped me many, many times in my life. And then Proverbs 28:13. He that hides his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Wouldn't you like to be receive God's mercy? God offers it. All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then this last one, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so I don't know that I ever remember Achan asking for God's mercy. Do you remember him asking for God's mercy? No. And he confessed, but it was, by the time he confessed, the damage was done. It was too late. All right, so here's our closing verses, and then we're going to pray. And I really would like it, I know we've been reading a little bit together, but can we read these together? I think it's helpful for us to just remember. Let's do Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. 16:6. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Okay, that's it. So remember my promise, you guys, if you read Joshua 1 through 10, you can come on back and get a prize for that. And if you memorize Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9, you can get another prize for that. And if you were a really good listener today, you can come on back and get a prize for that. Okay? All right? All right. Should we pray? Our Father, we thank you.
Thank you for these blessings in your word to teach us to fear you in a reverential, respectful way. For you are holy, Lord, and we understand that we sin and that we are sinners. But Lord, in your mercy, you have forgiven us through the Lord Jesus. We trust in him and we believe that you can wash away our sins by his blood. But I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to walk in your ways and to be holy as you are holy. We know that we need your help in this. We pray that we would learn the lesson today to fear you and to respect you and to consider you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Good job, guys. Yeah, you can throw it away. There's your garbage up there by the thing. Come on back if you've got a prize or something. We'll take care of you right now. Meet me in the back.